The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, founder and pastor, Ricky Scapero. We want to welcome, again, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, and let us know where you guys are joining us from. And again, please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification, depending on if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or whatever platform and where in which you can share this. That way other people can also get a glimpse of our material as well and see these messages just like you do. And of course, before we get started, guys, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. All you got to do is simply go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH trademark logo, download the app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away right at your fingertips with every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint like the one we're about to do tonight. It'll all be right there at your fingertips. So listen, it's no secret for us who understand the times and seasons. For us who understand eschatology, that's a theological word for end times. Those of us who understand these things, we know that the Bible tells us the last book of the Bible, called the Book of Revelation, written by John the Revelator somewhere. Scholars agree that, or I should say at least most scholars agree that it was written on the Isle of Patmos by John the Revelator, approximately somewhere between 95 and 100 AD. This man of God was able to look way into the future, even beyond today in 2024. He saw into the future and he saw a coming final empire with a system that will be in place that will be operated by, controlled by, and influenced by two major players of Bible prophecy in the end times. Now, of course, we're in Revelation 13. If you want to know where we're at tonight in our context of Scripture, or you guys are listening by Apple and by Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast from, you can turn with me to Revelation 13. I'm right there in Revelation 13. It talks about two individuals, one rising up out of the sea, one rising up out of the earth. The one who comes first, rising up out of the sea, wherein which John describes this beast having seven heads and 10 horns. And these again are kingdoms and empires that the Antichrist will control in the last days. He then sees another individual rising up out of the earth, not the sea, but out of the earth. He has two horns likened unto a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. He is given authority by Satan himself. Most scholars that I know, and even Catholics, a lot of the older Catholics kind of lean to the notion that this false prophet will be likely a defective pope that will rise in the last days, in the final days. And this false prophet will work hand to hand. They will be a duo, an end time duo, an end time team that will work together, and they will build a system. I call it the beast system, wherein which it will consist of some type of system that will consist of buying, selling, and trading that will require something in or on the right hand or in or on the forehead. And there will be an image of the beast constructed that will be created for worship to see who will pledge their allegiance to the beast, which is the first beast, the Antichrist. All right? So, having said that, you know, you've heard me talk about, we've got to get there. Somehow, we've got to get from point A to point B. We've got to get from now, present tense, to that event that will fulfill Bible prophecy. Now, we have not fulfilled this yet. Now, there will be of those of the theological background or the theological persuasion of what we would call preterism. And they hold to a doctrine that believes and teaches that all everything that you read about in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 was all fulfilled before 70 AD. And thus they look at the book of Revelation not as futuristic, but as more allegorical or historical, and it was all fulfilled again in 70 AD. They will tell you again, I'm telling you what they believe. They will tell you that Nero was the Antichrist. They will tell you that Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled Daniel's prophecy, and where in which the temple will be defiled by this image of the beast. And then in Matthew 24, it talks about that when you see the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate, spoken by the prophet Daniel. They will tell you that all that is past tense. It's all been fulfilled. Therefore, the book of Revelation is not futuristic, but allegorical. Guys, that holds no water at all. Because all the early church fathers all agreed that John the Revelator finished the book of Revelation no later than 100 AD and probably started writing around 95 AD when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. All of these things. There was never a false prophet rising. There was never an image of the beast. There was never a mark of the beast. There was never the kings of the east. The temple was never invaded by the Antichrist to set up an empire for 42 months. 10 kingdoms did not surrender their power to the beast. Guys, all these things did not happen, but these are futuristic events. And having said that, we have got to eventually, there has got to be a generation alive and in the earth that will see the initial stages and even the full fulfillment of Revelation 13. And I believe that we are that generation. I'm going to take you through some stuff today. And before I do that, I just want you to remember this. This final beast system will be 100% about control and totalitarianism. Let me say that again. The final beast system that is not here yet, but I believe we're seeing the footprints of it. We're seeing the breadcrumbs being left to follow. We're seeing the initial stages and the preconditioning of society for this. This final beast system will be 100% about control and totalitarianism. Go to Revelation 13, and it tells you in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist and the false prophet will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive this mark on or in their right hand or on or in their foreheads, that they will, in order for them to buy or sell, except they have this mark or name or number of the beast. This is again Revelation 13, 16 and 17. So again, you can see this, guys. This is complete control of a society that will be tracked by whatever this is that is put in their body. It will have a capability of a tracking system. I want you to remember all that as we move forward tonight with this program. There was a recent report. Now, this kind of hits home to all of our Canadian brothers and sisters, but there was a report coming out, and it was in your neck of the woods, wherein which Canada is implementing a new system called open banking. This will link citizens' bank accounts to a new social credit scoring system. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, this is very similar, if not the same thing, as what China has already implemented for several years now. And again, this is that scoring system that we warned you guys about for several years now. Again, China initiated it. China ran with it. They did the dry run on it. And we told you, we warned you, that other nations would pick up on this.
So, picture your life in a place where everything you do, what you buy, how you behave, is tracked. The government gives you a score, and the score is a measure of how trustworthy you are as a citizen. and determines what you're allowed to do, like ever. Boarding a train, getting a mortgage, all goes back to this score. It's called social credit. It sounds like that show Black Mirror, but it's actually happening in China. So how does that change you? Does it change you? What does your life look like when your every move is watched? The system's eyes are in big data, artificial intelligence, and roughly 200 million surveillance cameras. And that's totally fine with Ouyang Haoyu. She's 21, graduated from a good school with solid grades. She's diligent. She's nice. No surprise, she's a 752. That's her rating with Sesame Credit, a private company working with the government on the algorithms for the social credit system. The scores go from 350 to 950 and are based on habits and behavior. Buy clothes or diapers, it's good. A lot of alcohol, too many video games, not so good. Haoyu's 752 puts her in model citizen range and gets her discounts and privileges, like using a shared bike without a deposit. She likes it. Her friends do too. They all have pretty high scores.
Is a mechanism like pushes you to become a better citizen, to build on the trust, especially on the Chinese market?
Because you're not going to be punished if you haven't done anything wrong.
I think that's the point. I think the system is working as a warning or an alert to push people to do it, yeah. to be a good person.
And it's mandatory. When it goes national, social credit scores will be assigned to every one of China's citizens for life. And what's weird is that so many people seem okay with it. It's complicated, but China went from extreme poverty to economic giant pretty quickly. A credit history system didn't grow at the same pace, so people would default on loans and get away with it. Add in scandals around fake food, tainted baby milk, counterfeit goods, and what you've got is a big problem with trust. So, in 2014, the Communist Party called for a system to allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step.
And now it appears that Canada is on board with a new system called open banking. I'm going to read a little bit of this. This is from the Activist Post. In the aftermath of the trucker convoy and other noteworthy protests against the want restrictions in Canada, the Trudeau regime is radicalizing the nation's banking system to make it much harder for citizens to express their voices against political corruption. Wow, listen to this. Proponents of the social credit score linked banking paradigm say that it will make Canadian banks more, quote, inclusive, allowing them to easily access user data on demand while being able to share information with one another. A World Bank partner called Open Banking Excellence, OBE, which originated in the UK, is proudly boasting that it will incorporate social credit scores with people's banking information in Canada. Canadians will likely receive digital cash and identification in a convenient, all-in-one, inclusive place. Quote, it's about having that fairer, more inclusive, more open society. This is according to the OBE founder, Helen Child, making sure to use all the popular buzzwords to make her project sounds like a dream come true for the world. Again, it's the bait and hook. We've been warning you about this, the bait and hook. Canada is not alone in these endeavors. The United Nations is already working on what's called a global digital compact, wherein which it will create a global social credit scoring system for every person on the planet in due time. Now this, again, OBE, again, this is the acronym for Open Banking Excellence, already is operating in 40 different countries. claiming that it aims to, quote, create exceptional platforms and content that promotes knowledge sharing, new thinking, and partnerships within the industry, catalyzing the adoption of, quote, open finance and data for better financial inclusion worldwide. Now, how they're going to implement this, and they're going, how are they going to cause Canadians to jump on board with this and to maintain high social credit scores in order for them to be enabled to buy and sell constitutes inclusivity and fairness remains unknown. Again, so no one knows how they're going to implement this. Now, let me paint a little scenario for you. How would this work? According to this report, under open banking, lenders could directly access your banking data so they can look beyond credit scores. Consumers can also use it to build their credit scores, for example, by proving reliable rent payments. In other words, the goal is to access something beyond one's credit score in order to determine whether he or she is worthy to participate in the new global economy that globalists are constructing. Now, why is this important to talk about this? Two reasons. One, we have to remember, guys, that Canada is heavily prosecuting hate speech. So this is exactly, guys, this is the system that China implemented and put in place where in which they can monitor every single citizen's activity through, again, this scoring type system where in which if an individual complies with the government of China, then they will have the capacity and the availability to be able to operate as a free citizen. They can travel at their expense. They can find a nice job. They can do socialization. They can socialize with other individuals at free will. They have the ability to make purchases. They have the ability to pay their rent. They have the ability to live, quote unquote, and I use these quotes likely, free as a citizen in China. But the moment that they speak negative against the government, against communism, against Qi, against the system, or they do things according to the rule book of this system that causes them to have a negative score, eventually what that will do is that it will cause them not to be able to find a position of employment. It will cause them not to be able to travel. They will not have the free will to enjoy life as one who would in a free country. They, again, this is all totalitarianism at its finest. And again, one has to wonder, with a regime in place that is cracking down on quote unquote hate speech on social media, internet, and everything else, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that once they have this type of system in place that runs by a social credit scoring system that's connected to your bank account, think about what's going to happen. To everyone out there that says or does anything that is deemed to be a threat to this administration that's in place in Canada, then you know what's going to happen? Your credit score is going to suffer. And you know what that means? If your credit score suffers, that means you're going to suffer. All right, that's number one reason why this is important for you to know. The second reason is, if you're listening to this and you live in the United States, again, if it's happening in Canada, it's only a matter of time until it's at your front door. Oh, and by the way, in order for this to happen, guys, there has to be a registry created. And that's exactly what Argentina just announced, where in which they unveiled a mandatory, not optional, mandatory registry for all Bitcoin and crypto platforms. So again, guys, if you get the quickest way to control people is through their money. The quickest way to control people through their money is to digitalize it. When you have a digital currency, every single transaction an individual uses, does, performs, it's all tracked, all of it. There's no under the table. There's no tipping a couple dollars here. There's no free flow cash where in which it's not monitored. Every single transaction, where's your money going? Where's your transactions going? Now you think about a system that's in place that is telling you the rule book. You cannot support this. You cannot say this. You cannot do that. You cannot go there. You cannot associate with that. And if they see through your digital footprint and your transactions that you went there, supported that, supported them, stood with them, donated to them, whatever, associated with that or them or who or whatever that they that is a threat to that regime, that system, that administration that's in place, then there will be consequences met to that. So when I read about mandatory registries for digital currencies, this is frightening to me. I'm just letting you know right now, this is frightening stuff. And speaking of frightening, look at this article. Now, this is nothing new. This has been going on for a while, but the increase of this is becoming out of hand. Doctors are now requiring their patients to fill out forms because they're asking them if they possess firearms in their homes. What in the world is this about? I'm going to read a little bit of this. Northwell Health is part of a growing movement. I said it's a growing movement of healthcare providers that want to talk with patients about guns like they would their diet, their exercise, or treating firearm injury as a public health issue. Again, asking patients about access to firearms and counseling them toward responsible storage could be one part of this. Again, this is all, guys, this is control. Why? How is it's none of the doctor's business. I don't want to go to get a checkup, get some blood work, and then I'm grilled about, do you possess a firearm? Do you own it? Do you this? Do you that? Do you this? This is none of these doctors' businesses. I don't pay my health care or whatever or whatnot for them to be able to grill me on these questions. This is absolutely so intrusive, guys. And to my opinion, it's unconstitutional as well. But again, it's all part of this. Again, that's why we're talking about these little steps leading up to where we're going in the end, the last book of the Bible. Then you got this story. This was unbelievable too. An FBI agent says he hassles people every day, all day long over Facebook posts. In this report, one FBI agent who was interrogating a Oklahoma resident showed up at her house to question her about her social media activity. Three FBI agents came to her home and said that they had been given screenshots of her post by Facebook. According to her lawyer, she posted a video of the incident online on the Wednesday of this reporting. The woman in question told agents that she did not want to talk and asked them to show their badges on camera, which the agents refused to do so. She then wrote on her Facebook page that she later confirmed with local police that the FBI agents were indeed FBI agents. Quote, Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account, one agent in a gray shirt said in a video. So we no longer live in a free country and we can't say what we want. This was the resident replying to this. Quote, no, we totally do. That's why we're not here to arrest you or anything, a second agent in a red shirt said. Quote, we do this every day. I'm going to show you this, what I'm reading here. We do this every day, all day long. The FBI is going to, according to this, there's FBI agents being sent to your home to question people about their Facebook post. I wonder what she was posting. That's what's in. Let's read on here. Quote, it's just an effort to keep everybody safe and make sure nobody has any ill will. Now, remember, Let's talk about Facebook, Google, Twitter, all these platforms, when they're always trying to flag you and censor you and ban you over quote-unquote hate speech or quote-unquote violent content. When you read in, they give you very vague descriptions of what this actually means. There's a lot of gray area there. The resident said that, quote, she does not even know which Facebook caught the agent's attention. This is absolutely terrifying, guys. And that was the first time he had heard of Facebook's parent company, Meta, preemptively reporting posts to law enforcement. And of course, when one individual or spokesman for Meta was confronted, they declined the comment. According to this report, Meta official policy is to hand over Facebook data to U.S. law enforcement in response to court order, a subpoena or search warrant, or an emergency situation involving imminent harm to a child or risk of death or serious physical injury to any person. On a deeper research on this, for the past week, this woman who they showed up at her house made multiple angry posts per day about the war in Gaza, referring to Israel as Israel, but none of the posts on her feed ever called for violence. Ironically, she had also posted a warning about exactly the kind of government monitoring she was later subjected to. I'm going to read this. She went on to say, now this is a Muslim woman, by the way. That's why I'm not pronouncing her name, because I don't want to slaughter her name, but she is Muslim. And I'm going to read what she said here. Quote, don't fall for their games. Our community is being watched and they are just waiting for any reason to round us up. Quote, if you're Muslim and or pro-pal, consider all your media accounts, Google searches, mail, messenger, local mosque, and political events monitored. Well, I'm not going to pronounce her name here, but you're not the only one being monitored. I can assure you of that, my friend. Case in point, here's another report from Engadget. According to this report, authorities reportedly ordered Google to reveal the identities of some YouTube video viewers. I didn't say video publishers. I didn't say content creators. I said YouTube videos viewers. Viewers, what you're watching. Check this out. Federal authorities in the U.S. asked Google for the names, addresses, telephone numbers and user activity of the accounts that watch certain YouTube videos. Oh, now this is a big shock. Between January 1st and January 8th of 2023. According to an unsealed court document by Forbes, people who watched those videos while they weren't logged into an account weren't safe either, because the government also asked for their IP addresses. The investigators reportedly ordered Google to hand over this information as part of an, quote, investigation into someone who uses the name Elon Musk WHM online. The report said authorities suspect that this username is selling Bitcoin for cash and is thus breaking money laundering laws, as well as running an unlicensed money transmitting business. Undercover agents reportedly sent the suspect links to videos of YouTube tutorials for mapping via drones and an augmented reality software in their conversation, back in early of January. Those videos, however, weren't private and had been collectively viewed by over 30,000 times, which means the government was potentially asking Google for private information on quite a large number of users. Quote, there's reason to believe that these records would be relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation, including by providing identification information about the perpetrators. Now, does anybody else think that's terrifying? Even if there was laws being broke, guys, these people, there is no boundaries. There is no freedoms. Our Constitution doesn't do anything for us. Nothing. Again, all laws are being broken. Based on the documents obtained by Forbes, the court granted the order but had asked Google to keep it under wraps. Keep it on the down low, Google. It also unclear if Google handed over the data to the authorities when they were asking for it. In another incident, authorities asked the company for a list of accounts that viewed and or interacted with 8 YouTube live streams. 8 YouTube live streams. The authorities, FBI agents, wanting the people's names, addresses, IP addresses of people that viewed the videos. They're not telling us what these 8 live videos that were streamed were. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a beast system that is getting ready, setting things in place, conditioning society. Everything is falling into place, guys, for this final beast system controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Oh, we want further proof? Let me give you some more proof. Visa. Anybody use Visa? We do. Visa says that, quote, their palm biometric payments have, quote, promising future. Palm biometric payments have a promising future. This is what Visa is saying. Look at this. Payments. Payment giant Visa showcased its pay by palm biometric payment technology. This was revealed in an event marking the transformation of its Singapore Innovation Center. And by the way, Singapore is one of them places. Sweden, Singapore, this is what they're all about. Not all of them, I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of these individuals are all about the plant implant, the chip implants in their hands for convenience. So this was revealed at the Singapore Innovation Center. During the event, visitors were invited to use the palm reader and look at this, link their signature to their payment card for transaction. Stop. What did we just talk about? What did I just tell you about that's being implemented in Canada? Remember, we talked about this, an open banking system where which bank accounts will be connected to a social credit scoring system. Now, again, we know according to Revelation 13 that whatever this system is that will be at the end game in the future will consist of buying, selling, and trading with something in or on the right hand and or on the forehead. And without the name, the number, or the mark of the beast, you will not make transactions. You will not be able to pay your bills. You will not be able to function in society. You will not be able to eat. You will not be able, you will be pushed out and exiled into society. And according to John, what John saw in the book of Revelation, he saw under the throne of God, those that were martyred because they refused to take the mark of the beast or worship the image of the beast. So here we are, guys. Everything is going. Amazon's jumping on board with this. Whole Foods is jumping on board with this. And now we see these major credit card companies. The future of biometric payments is promising, and it is set to revolutionize the retail experience. This was according to the head of innovation at Visa Asia Pacific. The technology is still relatively nascent and most likely won't become mass market for a while. But however, various factors influence the acceptance of biometric payments, including regulation, technology, and consumer acceptance, which often depends on the market. Let me say that again. Acceptance of this type of payment system includes regulation, technology, and consumer acceptance, which all depends on the market, or in translation, how well it is sold to the public. Is the carrot leading a society to take this in their hand? Or excuse me, to use their hand for this, yeah, eventually take it in their hand, Revelation 13, but to adapt to this system as normal, acceptable. This individual went on to say that, quote, however, the current pace of integration and acceptance of these type of technologies that we are seeing is very encouraging. and we expect to see biometric payments becoming more mainstream within the next decade. In the year 2023, we saw Amazon again introduced its Amazon One system. Then China introduced the WeChat Pay, which is payments by their palm. And then there was, then Visa jumped on board with this. And again, we talked about Whole Foods is jumping on board with this. I want to show you this art. I thought this was very interesting. No chip for me. Walgreens customer issues warning after encouraging new refrigerators that scan. What? What is this about? A woman has sparked a discussion online after sharing her conspiracy theory that Walgreens is plotting to get people to put computer chips in their bodies. However, Walgreens has an explanation. Let's watch this video. All right, guys, let's check this out.
Can somebody enlighten me on what's going on here? In Walgreens, there are these coolers, and this is where our drinks used to, you know, we can just open it up and grab. Now it's kind of like all cartooned all the way down. So if you look here.
Look, check it out. There's not even real product in it.
Then I'm looking here, and there's a sensor there and a sensor there.
Okay, let me rewind that. Look, check this out.
Then I'm looking here.
So there's a, looks like a finger pad sensor. That's what she's pointing out here.
A sensor there.
And then she points out another sensor above it.
There. It says, wave your hand. Voice assistant coming soon. Okay. Pretty soon these doors aren't going to be opening. Really thick, actually.
Wow.
This is where the food is.
Now, guys, the reason why they're doing this is because the rise of theft. But I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. Let's watch this.
So what do you think this means for us as people of the United States of America? What does it mean? Wave your hand. Look at that. Why would that be on a door just to get drinks? Just saying. And it's all the way down.
Now, according to the official spokesman there for Walgreens, this is for energy savings, where in which an individual can make selections before opening the door. The temperature would drop on old ones because the doors would be left open by customers. Others say this is for, again, to prevent theft, also to keep that down. But it is interesting, guys. It is very intriguing and interesting to me that, and I see what she's saying here. Before everybody blast her like they did in the comments on TikTok, I see what she's saying, though. It's you wave your hand in front of, you wave your palm in front of this refrigerator with this technology that's there that reads your hand or your sensor of your hand, and it opens. So what she, and I know what she's saying here, that eventually all this is going to tie into it. Now think about this. I'm going to give you a scenario real quick, and we're about to close this broadcast today. Think about if theft gets that bad to the point where they have to implement this type of technology where you have to put your hand on something to make a purchase, or put your hand in something to unlock something, a door, a cabinet, a refrigerator, a chest, whatever. What if firearms, they make it to where the there is a place on there where it only, the firearm will only, the safety will only trigger when it reads your fingerprints of the owner, where again, all this is going back to your palm. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. All of it's going back to your hand, and it, somehow it's going to be implemented to your forehead. I don't know how that's going to work. Is that going to be this? Is it going to be something like Elon Musk is creating a chip in your brain? Is it going to be virtual reality? Is it going to be VR? Is it going to be all, you know, all that stuff? Time will tell. But again, don't miss what we're saying here. The conditioning for society is here, guys. It's now. And then we get to this final, I want to show you this final article. This was written by Jan Markle. And this is absolutely very intriguing. And she says, are we summoning demons through artificial intelligence? Now, again, I find this intriguing because when you read Revelation 13, again, it tells you about this image of the beast that will speak and live. And it will be, this thing will be spearheaded by the false prophet, and he will have the people to create this thing. Now, in her article, and again, this is on Harbinger's Daily, she says in here, the first troubling headline that she read that, quote, ex-Google executive is founding a church where people worship an artificial intelligence God. The second headline she talks about is why humans will happily follow a robot messiah. She went on to say that she started watching these online videos of robots who look human and who think they answer questions and seem to process real thoughts. Developers of these robots say someday they will solve the problems of society. Such men also believe that it is possible for artificial intelligence to be a billion times smarter than humans. I want to read some of these statements. Various leaders in the field of artificial intelligence have made some of the following statements. Quote, the human era could be ending and machines will take over. Quote, he who develops AI rules the world. We aren't going to be able to control it. Here's another one. Quote, we are summoning up demons. That's terrifying. Quote, we are playing with fire. Here's another one. This is one of the dumbest things we can do. Here's another one. Soon robots will walk among us. They will play with us, teach us, and they will truly be our friends. AI will be smarter than humans and will become a god, little g. AI could become the worst event in the history of civilization. And then in the end, the machines will win. She even points out, you go down and scroll this, and she talks about Sophia, and she talks about when Sophia was created. Y'all remember that robot, Sophia? She went on, she said she was loved on the YouTube community. If she was featured and introduced to millions, she was attractive, she was close, she looks into your eyes, and she answers your questions. She could be your friend, your companion, she could be a problem solver, and perhaps someday even your spouse. At the very least, she could run your errands and put away your groceries. In the wrong hands, she could be dangerous. She went on and she even stated that Google admitted at one time that they want to be like the mind of God and suggest that they will be godlike. So friends, again, I need you to share this right now. Share this with your friends. Share this with your coworkers. Share this with your neighbors. Share this with your loved ones. Hit that like button. Hit that share button. Hit that subscribe button. Get the word out. Show them that the Bible is coming to pass. The book of Revelation is unfolding quickly before our eyes. There may not be the Antichrist yet. The false prophet may have not been unveiled yet. We may not have the image of the beast yet. We may not have the mark of the beast system yet. But friends, it is surely at the doors. I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our site. Even better, get our free app today, available at your Play Store, depending on your device. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. As always, guys, we would love you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Again, this is how you support our ministry. This is how we continue to keep doing what we do week after week after week. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can make out a check or money order right there on your screen to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate you coming on here tonight. Well, listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with one more final podcast to end out this week. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.